Thanks for staying with us here at Press TV as we continue to take a closer look at the fallout from President Donald Trump's announcement that Israel, that Jerusalem, I'll quote, pardon me, is the capital of Israel, according to, of course, the U.S. government, and, of course, announcing his intention as well to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I'll quote. Let's now play part of his announcement on that issue, if we can.
Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital. This is nothing more or less than a recognition of reality. It is also the right thing to do. It's something that has to be done. That is why, consistent with the Jerusalem Embassy Act, I am also directing the State Department to begin preparation to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. This will immediately begin the...
There was part of Trump's announcement, of course, about this decision that he's made tonight, which was, of course, expected in the lead-up to his announcement. Joining us live to discuss this a bit further is Mr. Richard Silverstein, who is a journalist and political commentator, and he's joining us live now by Skype from Seattle. Richard, as always, thanks for joining us. How do you react to Trump's announcement?
Well, as you said, this was expected. I think what we have to wait to see is what will be the reaction in the street in Palestine and in Arab and Muslim capitals around the world. I, as I think I might have told your audience yesterday in a different segment, mentioned that I believe that if these countries want to show true opposition, they need to use more than words. They have to use action. I note that Turkey's president has threatened to cut ties to Israel if the U.S. made this announcement. So I'm waiting to see whether they actually do that or not. I would like to see governments which really oppose the U.S. announcement recall their ambassadors from either Tel Aviv or Washington, D.C. I have not seen that so far. So I'm hoping that they put their money where their mouth is and they actually take really strong action against this rather than just symbolic action.
Richard, in a sense, do you think Donald Trump is actually banking on, I don't know if the word is muted, but a less strong response to this issue on the part of any of the countries that you could have been talking about, the Arab and Muslim countries who have relations with Israel, those who possibly want relations with Israel?
I think he's really showing total disdain for everyone outside of the United States or Israel. He's basically saying that the only two parties that matter in this issue are our country, the United States, and Israel, and that everybody else can go to hell, frankly. That's what this is. And I was just reading a column in The Guardian by Jonathan Friedland, and he said basically this is an act of political arson. You take Jerusalem, which is a lit match for almost all of the world's religions, at least for Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and you throw a match into a barrel of oil, and you know, what do you expect to happen? So I think that yes, he's hoping that there is no major reaction to this. He knows that he has at least the tacit support of Saudi Arabia and the other Sunni states that are its allies. So he doesn't expect to see major opposition from any of them. But what will happen in the street in Palestine and what will happen in other countries like Turkey and other Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, list goes on. And also, what will the EU do in this matter? This decision flies in the face of decades of EU policy regarding Israel-Palestine. So what are they going to do? I mean, I'm kind of like throwing down a challenge to them, and we'll have to see, you know, what their response is.
Okay, let me add another voice to this conversation. We're joined now by James Thring as well. He's a peace advocate and political commentator, and he's joining us live now via Skype from London. James, if you are joining us, thank you for joining us firstly and taking your time out to speak to us here at Press TV. I wanted to ask, what do you feel about tonight's announcement by Donald Trump?
Well, I feel that the answer must be for somebody on the Security Council to remind Mr. Trump that there was an agreement in 1967 that Jerusalem would remain an international city, not dominated by either of the three main parties, i.e. Islam, Judaism, or Christianity. And that was ratified again in a subsequent UN resolution, 242. So he's really breaking international law, and therefore somebody on the Security Council should effectively veto his acceptance of Israel's pressure to move the US embassy to Jerusalem. And the only people I can think of who could do that would be the Chinese. I don't know whether anybody's working on it, but I'd like to, but my contacts with them are very low level.
Okay, so speaking about the international reactions, in fact, I wanted to, if we have that soundbite ready right now, we have a soundbite of Antonio Guterres, the UN Secretary General, and his reaction to Donald Trump's announcement. Let's watch his reaction if we can, and we'll be right back.
Final status issue that must be resolved through direct negotiations between the two parties on the basis of the relevant Security Council and General Assembly resolutions, taking into account the legitimate concerns of both the Palestinian and the Israeli sides. I understand the deep attachment.
Okay, that was Antonio Guterres, who was, of course, reacting after Donald Trump had made his announcement. Richard, what do you make of the possible UN role here, or is there no UN role here, really? Because many people saying the UN has essentially shown itself to be too weak on this issue.
I think the UN so far has really used nothing but words here, and I really think that they need to take some action. They need to, I mean, everybody, not just the United Nations, the leaders of major countries in Europe, Arab world and Muslim world, they need to express outrage at this decision. They need to come up with ideas that will show their complete opposition. They need to do something that will make the United States sit up and take notice. Now, Donald Trump, we all know, is a bully. Bullies, we know their pathological forms of behavior, but the way that you confront a bully is by getting in his face and making him hurt. So somebody needs to make the United States pay a price for what it's done, and also make Israel pay a price for what it's done. It's violated every international consensus, international law. It's violated UN resolutions, as the speaker from London just mentioned. What are we going to do about it? That's the question I want to put out there to people.
Okay, so James, what do you make of the possible UN role here? Many people saying that this should go to the Security Council, for example. This should be brought up and discussed at the United Nations. Will all of that make a difference, do you think?
Well, it could do. There is a section in the UN Charter, Article 27, which I'm often quoting, which says that parties to a dispute forfeit their right to vote. And I think it was the UN Secretary General, it might have been somebody from the Palestinian side, I can't remember now, said that this action by Trump revealed that he was a party to that dispute. He's coming down on one side and completely ignoring the interests of the others. So technically, the Security Council members could say to the United States, we are going to have a resolution to object to your decree.
I'll try,
And you can't interfere with it because you're a party to the dispute. I think China could lead that, but I'm pretty sure that the non-aligned countries, 120, 140 countries in the General Assembly would definitely support it. Quite how effective it would be, I don't know, but if it was framed in such a way that it put sanctions on Israel and the United States if they did this, because it's an offense against international law and against the international community's interests in keeping the peace and keeping Jerusalem as an international city, they could pass a resolution which put sanctions of some sort under Chapter 6, to begin with, on Israel and America. It would be a brave bunch of people, but together they are much less targetable than one or two countries. So it's theoretically possible. And I think it should happen, and I think it's quite likely the international community would be with this kind of action.
Okay, so Richard, you know, when we talk about the reactions to this, obviously, and you've mentioned this already, that about the reactions on the streets, of course, there was a lot of talk already in the lead up to this announcement, Richard, about and the word intifada has been thrown around. Do you think that that is likely to happen? Because obviously, this is a powder keg situation where they've reached a boiling point, haven't they, Richard?
Well, one thing that I did want to raise, it doesn't exactly address your question, but I want to go back to what your other speaker was saying, and I just was thinking about an alternative. The world community could react to this by saying, we are going to go in the opposite direction. We are going to encourage Palestine to apply for full United Nations membership. Right now it's an observer state. And we will show the United States and Israel that the way we're going to oppose them is we're going to give Palestine full recognition in the United Nations. And we're going to encourage every country in the world that does not yet recognize Palestine as a separate state, we're going to do that. That would be a way to really show opposition here. I'm sorry, I forgot your original question, but if you want to repeat it,
I'll repeat my first original question, Richard. About the issue of intifada and you know, the possible resistance, as we would term it, of course. What do you make of that? Because that is what's being spoken about in the lead up to this announcement. That's what's been the reactions on many people's parts as well, saying that the situation is so desperate that, you know, the people will resist this.
Well, in July, we saw Israel try to install surveillance cameras outside of Al-Aqsa Mosque, and we saw a huge protest from the Palestinians, from the Muslim world against this. We saw riots, and we saw a boycott of prayers on Friday. I think we have to wait and see for Friday to see what happens at Jerusalem. I did consult a security source in Israel who, and I asked what this person thought might happen based on what Israeli security forces were seeing. And he did believe that there would be protest and there would be possible violence. But he also noted that it's winter now in Jerusalem, so it's, you know, inclement weather. But I think the amount of rage that should be generated in the Palestinian community should really trump any kind of problems with the cold weather. And we'll see whether, you know, the imams in Jerusalem call for a boycott of prayer. We have noted that Hamas has called for a day of rage on Friday. I don't know how much the Palestinians in Jerusalem will be adhering to that. But I do expect a certain level of violence. The only question is whether it's mass violence that really completely shuts down Jerusalem, which is what happened in July, or whether it's something less.
James, I'm wondering, because you're sitting in the UK, James, and I think it's appropriate to ask you this then. You know, we've of course had Prime Minister May saying that she does not agree with this decision, but do you think that now the pressure is on even more on the Western allies, the Israeli allies, I should say, actually, who stand by Israel in all other cases, really, to move their embassies from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Al-Quds as well? Do you think that the May government is willing to do that?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. Apart from anything else, I can't see where in Jerusalem they'd put it. It wouldn't be, it's not just one embassy, it'll be all 140 odd embassies that will eventually want to come. And there isn't that room in Jerusalem itself. They may expand it, of course, into the West Bank, but technically it's not possible. I would think that there's enough pressure from the Foreign Office, even people like Boris Johnson and particularly Sir Alan Duncan will be persuading the Prime Minister that it would be wrong to follow America on this tack. They've done it before. In other words, they've put up resistance to American pressure before, as you saw with Syria, the threatened attack on Syria under Obama. So it's possible. I do think, though, that it would be unfortunate if the Palestinians took the brunt of this on the street. It's an international city. It's up to the international community to see fair play, to see justice, and to put some kind of pressure on the two miscreant actors in this coming war. The Palestinians have had enough, I would have thought, of intifadas and suffering. If they go on some kind of march or intifada on the mosque site, they're going to get shot by the Israeli army. They're under military dictatorship. So it would be suicide for them to do that. Obviously, it will bring another wave of international sympathy, but it really is a matter of international responsibility to take the lead here and wave a finger, at least to the Americans and Israelis, I would say, impose proper sanctions until they decide that they're not going to do that. And the sanctions obviously would be diplomatic ones. In other words, the countries that are most concerned, and I think this would include the United Kingdom and certainly many, many European countries and the EU itself, to withdraw their diplomatic services from the American presence in their countries. Limit those services and say, look, until you withdraw this plan, you're going to suffer our ire.
Okay, you know, just to show the fact that this is the reactions that have been taking place around the world, these images, of course, you have on screen right now to our viewers, of course, are coming out of the Jordanian capital, Amman, where there's a gathering, and I believe that's close to the U.S. Embassy from what I can tell. And, of course, we've had a protest take place and is still taking place from what we know in Turkey as well. Let's watch that protest and the reactions from people there on the streets.
On the one hand, we are being sentenced to death in the geography of hearts. On the other hand, our sacred sites are being trampled upon. Our land is being encroached upon. This is the final point of aggression, injustice, by way of Trump as an intermediary. Zionism, the occupying Zionist Israelis, had the nerve to declare our first Qibla, Jerusalem, as their capital. We call on the Muslim community to break away from real political concerns, to not be afraid of America, of Israel, but of Allah, and to succumb to Allah. We have reached the point where Palestine needs to achieve the same freedom.
We are gathered here today to express our reaction against the oppression of Jerusalem, the geography of our hearts. As Ankara's non-governmental organizations, we are here today to react against Trump's election promises, the fact that he'll recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and that he'll take the U.S. embassy there.
We are expressing our reaction here together as the Muslim community. As Muslims, Jerusalem is our capital. We won't give it up to anyone.
Okay, just some of the views expressed there at that protest that took place in Ankara in Turkey. Richard, I wanted to bring you back in and ask you, you know, many people saying, Richard, that and were questioning really the timing of why this occurred at this point in time, specifically. Netanyahu, as we know, has certain investigations going on about him and his political power or limelight or spotlight or power really in the country was seemingly diminishing. At least you can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But do you think that this will work politically for both Donald Trump and Netanyahu?
I think it does take a certain amount of pressure off of Netanyahu. He can turn to the Israeli people and he can say, here's something that we as a nation have been attempting to achieve for decades, and I did it. He can say, I, Bibi Netanyahu, was the only prime minister who brought American approval of recognizing Jerusalem, what he calls our undivided capital. And so he wants to take attention away from the four corruption cases, the major corruption cases that the Israeli police are prosecuting against him. I don't think that this is going to work. I do predict there will be indictments against him in at least one or more of those cases, and he will probably be forced to resign. I don't see many changes in Israeli policy if that does happen, because the continuity in Israeli politics means that the policies will remain basically the same. As for Trump and the timing, I think that many people are pointing to Sheldon Adelson, one of the wealthiest Republican donors in the United States. He gave $35 million in the last campaign to Trump, and he was adamant, Adelson was, that he wanted Jerusalem recognized and he wanted the U.S. Embassy to be in Jerusalem. So I think that Trump is largely responding to that and really taking the interests of a single wealthy fat cat Republican donor to heart over the interests really of the world and especially of the Palestinians in this particular case. And one other issue I wanted to raise was the danger that this action means for American diplomats and American military personnel around the world. We have tens of thousands of troops in Africa, in Arab and Muslim countries in the Middle East. They're fighting wars in Afghanistan. They're fighting against ISIS and other Islamist forces in Somalia and Yemen and other places. Those people, those Americans, are in danger because the Arab and Muslim world is going to be outraged by this action. So Trump is directly putting American troops in harm's way by not taking into consideration the impact that this will have in those countries where we are trying to fight terrorism and fight ISIS and parties like that.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there at that. But of course, we do appreciate both of your contributions to this discussion and, of course, for sharing your insights with us. That was Richard Silverstein, journalist and political commentator, who is speaking to us live from Seattle via Skype. And we were also joined by James Thring, who is a peace advocate and political commentator. And he had been speaking to us live via Skype from London. Of course, we are continuing to take a very close look at the continuing reactions coming in from around the world, really, to President Donald Trump's announcement that the United States government now recognizes Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of Israel, as well as its intention to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem al-Quds as well. We'll continue to take a closer look at that and continue to keep an eye on those developments as well. Thanks for watching.